You may recall this past Christmas is our little parish gift. We passed out these books called Resisting Happiness by Matthew Kelly. I hope all of you were able to obtain one during the Christmas season, and I hope that you've also taken time to at least begin reading it. I have. Still working through it, but I've started. It's a very good book, and the key question here is, are you happy? A good question. Are you really happy? And if not, maybe something's missing. And that's really the title of chapter 6 in this little book. Something is missing. And that something is God. Think of St. Augustine, for instance, that wayward young man for the first 30 years of his life who tried to find happiness in scholarship, fame, position, even sex, and yet was miserable. He converted and later would write, "Our hearts will not find rest until they rest in you, O Lord." We'll never find happiness without God. And so, my brothers and sisters, our dear Lord today gives us the recipe for happiness in the Beatitudes. Now, this Sunday, we begin a journey through the Sermon on the Mount, the longest public teaching of our Lord that's recorded in the Gospel. The sermon, though, begins with these Beatitudes. These Beatitudes are really the attitudes of being. They're the attitudes for finding beatitude, meaning real happiness. So we have to look at these Beatitudes honestly and hopefully look at them and take them to heart. The Beatitudes give us that formula by which we rightly live life with our Lord, share our lives with Him, and find not just happiness here, but ultimately happiness in the beatitude of heaven, seeing the beatific vision, the face of God. So we journey through. Notice Jesus begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He's not talking about some kind of economic poverty. He's not talking about the haves versus the have-nots. Instead, he's talking about a fundamental relationship with God. God is God. God has loved us first of all. Each one of us is made in His image and likeness. Each one has been given the breath life of God. Each one of us has a purpose here because God made us. And so we always have to respect God as God. God is God. Here we are. Creatures made in His image and likeness, we're called to know, to love, and to serve Him. And therefore, when we think of this poverty of spirit, we ought to be grateful. A grateful heart is really a happy heart. When we think of all the things that we enjoy in our life, whether it is our very life, our health, our faith, our loved ones, our home that we'll go home to, all of that, we should have a very grateful heart. That attitude of gratitude really brings about happiness. Also, we should have a real sense of childlike dependence. Jesus said, if the Heavenly Father takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, don't you think He's going to take care of you? Well, how oftentimes do we allow worry to enter into our lives that causes us such unhappiness? Instead, we ought to trust God will always take care of us. The real challenge in living this poverty of spirit is to keep the relationship right. Poor victims of original sin, too oftentimes we want to flip it. We want to put ourselves first. We allow something to become that false idol that takes priority over everything else. The false idol could be the money, the material things, the pleasures, the social relationships. So you and I have to ask ourselves, is there something that really dominates our life, that takes precedent, not only over God, but maybe over our spouse, over our family? If so, we're setting ourselves up for a disaster. Those idols will never bring us happiness. We easily lose them, and ultimately in the end we leave them in the grave. Only when God is God in our life will we find real happiness. A few of our saints, had great wealth, power, position. They were kings and queens. Louis of France, Elizabeth of Hungary, Margaret of Scotland, Henry of Germany. And yet, they're saints because they had that poverty of spirit. So, the one who is poor in spirit, in this sense, is one who is truly happy. Our Lord says, "Blessed are those who mourn." We all mourn at times. How easy it would be to face a tragedy, the death of a loved one, and allow despair or even hopelessness to set in, to really have that sorrow that cripples our heart. But the one who is united with our Lord mourns with Him and then finds comfort. So when we mourn for the loss of someone we love, we find comfort in that, as Jesus consoled Martha upon the death of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life." If a person has lived this life in faith, died in the state of grace, then we are comforted knowing, God willing, that person's with our Lord in heaven. We may mourn for our sins, and yet, instead of just giving into despair like the devil would want, having us think, "Oh, you awful wretch, this is the way you are," we can find forgiveness. Jesus said he would never refuse a humbled, contrite heart. He instituted the sacrament of penance for the forgiveness of sin. We mourn for the situation of our world even. We look at this world and we see evil, yet we have consolation knowing God will triumph. Jesus conquered suffering, sin, and death. He conquered evil itself. So we should never despair and give up hope in this world. God is God, and God will triumph. So happy is the person who mourns the way our Lord wants us to mourn, to find comfort in Him. He goes on, and Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." Meekness is that virtue by which we have self-control, not giving into excess, not giving into defect, having that control over all things. And our Lord says that those who are meek will inherit the land, because life will not control them, they will control life. So if we allow something, a pleasure, food, drink, whatever, take control of our life, we'll never find happiness. Only when we're in control will we find that happiness. When we have that self-mastery, do we find happiness. So happy is the one who is truly meek. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Ask yourself, what do you hunger for? What's really the comfort of your life? Be careful, because if it's something sinful, you'll never find happiness. You'll never find comfort. People sometimes look to alcohol or sex, pornography, reckless behavior, whatever, thinking that's going to satisfy my hunger. It never will. It will bring destruction. Only when we hunger for our Lord. You and I need to remember, if we love Jesus, then we want to love Him more. We want to know Him more. That way, to satisfy this hunger, we have to search, seek holiness. So we pray, we read Scripture, we make use of the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist and reconciliation. In all, we hunger, knowing that it is our Lord who only satisfies our life. Happy is the heart that really hungers and thirsts for holiness. Our Lord goes on. He says, "Blessed are the merciful." By doing those corporal, spiritual works of mercy, we'll find happiness. It's in giving that we receive, as St. Francis said. So mercy too involves forgiving. So to let go of those past hurts, to forgive those who have hurt us, puts a limit on the evil. The devil would rather have us be in that wounded state, remembering those hurts, those times of sin that are against us. Oh yes, he wants us to hold the grudges, the hatreds, the bad memories, and so on. Because then we're crippled. We are no longer living in the blessedness of the moment. We're living in the past. Rather, by forgiving, then we'll have happiness. So the merciful are the happy ones. Our Lord continues and he says, blessed are the clean of heart. Sometimes also translated as the pure of heart or the single-hearted. The idea here is that if we are living our life with prejudice or negativity or pessimism, we're never going to find happiness. We're going to be miserable. Too many miserable people in our world today. If we have a wrong intention that is duplicitous or manipulative, we're never going to find a peace of heart, a happiness. No. Only when we really are doing what is right in the eyes of God, really looking upon others as we would do, as we would look upon Christ, that will bring us happiness. So our Lord then says, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, the peacemakers are those that pursue truth, and then they promote truth by pursuing justice. Only then do we have peace. If we ignore truth, as we do in our world today, saying or denying the sanctity of life from conception to death, denying the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, we'll never find happiness. We hear all this these days about bringing our country together and healing hurts and so on. Wonderful. But we're never going to have peace unless we have justice. And we won't have justice unless we're living by truth. Some kind of an ideology is never going to heal hurts and bring peace. Ideologies will never bring happiness. Only the truth of Christ ultimately brings the happiness. And lastly, our dear Lord says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Well, if we're a true Christian, we know we will find persecution. Could be physical, like the martyrs that we hear of in the Middle East especially, or other countries. Or it might be more, maybe a verbal persecution, a rejection, whatever it may be. But we should rejoice in the fact that we are known as a Christian. St. Peter and St. Paul, right after Pentecost, went to the temple to proclaim Jesus as really the Lord and Savior who suffered, died, and is risen. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court. They were told never to do it again. They were whipped and set free. And Peter rejoices, and the Acts of the Apostles says they rejoice because they had suffered for the name of Christ. They rejoiced because they were true to being a Christian, true to themselves. And that's what we need to realize too. When we're true to our faith, we will find happiness. So if we put it all together, my brothers and sisters, if we look at these Beatitudes, that's a paradigm, the prescription, the recipe for having that happy heart. It's a struggle, but nevertheless, we have the paradigm, the recipe, the formula. To put it all together, little quick story. When I was teaching at Marymount years ago, one of the professors that I became friends with had a devotion to a Father Solanus Casey, whose cause is being investigated for canonization. Father Solanus was a Franciscan friar, born in 1870, died in 1957, so not too long ago. He was a very simple man. He was one of 14 children. He had to work to help support his family. But finally, at the age of 27, he entered the Franciscans, wanting to become a priest. Had a very difficult time studying. So when he was ordained, as they called back then, a priest simplex, meaning he could offer Mass, but he could not hear confessions. He could not give a homily. How disappointing that must have been. Instead, he was relegated to being the sacristan and also the porter of the friary. So for a while, he did this in Harlem, New York. But the last 20-some years of his life, he was back in Detroit at the Mother House. So imagine, one could easily have become angry, filled with disappointment, but he was a happy man. And he knew that somehow the Lord would work through him. So he spent his time, sometimes 12 hours a day, answering the door. People would come for advice. He gave them advice. They might come for a handout of some kind. He would do that too. Eventually, though, it became known that through his intercessions, healings were happening. A whole list of healings attributed to Father Solanus Casey. A very holy man, simple, in the truest sense, a man who lived these Beatitudes. Father Benedict Groeschel, who many of you remember, who died just a few years ago, a great spiritual writer, said that when he was a young friar stationed there in Detroit, one night he was in the chapel praying, and he noticed Father Solanus was right at the steps of the tabernacle praying, but he was 1 foot off the ground. He was like in this mystical ecstasy of levitation. Well, the story goes that he had been giving some good counsel to this lady who had a difficult son. The son was grown up. He was now very well off, was successful in life, but he abandoned the church. Something else became God, money, career, and so on. But then he wasn't happy, so he tried to find comfort in women, tried to find comfort in alcohol. Poor mom was so distraught, so she would go to Father Solanus and ask for advice. And then she would go and encourage her son, "Why don't you see Father Solanus?" Well, one night, when he had been over-drinking, he goes to the friary door, bangs on the door late at night. Father Solanus opens the door, and the young man says to him, "Stop talking to my mother. Stop meddling with my life. I'm happy the way I am." And he was in this drunken rage. And Father Solanus, with great meekness, said, "Then why aren't you happy?" And the man stopped, and he broke down in tears. They sat down. Father Solanus gave him some coffee, gave him some counsel, and told him, "Go home, get a good night's sleep, come back in the morning." The man did. And then they sat down, and they went through the Beatitudes together, slowly and looking at those Beatitudes. The man went to confession to another friar there, but he changed his life, reprioritized everything. And with all that God had given to him, returned to the church, started using his wealth for good, and became loved by many. When Father Solanus died, 8,000 attended his funeral. A simple man who lived the Beatitudes. So my brothers and sisters, your challenge this week is this. Take time to read these each day. I would even encourage you, memorize them. Think about these Beatitudes, because only by having that attitude of beatitude will we really find genuine happiness. And that's what our Lord wants us to have. Our Lord wants us to truly be happy, but in Him. May God bless you.